You're listening to Beyond the Ribbon, a podcast of the Cancer Survivorship Center, powered by 24 Hours in the Canyon. This podcast is brought to you by Auto Inc. Auto Inc. is a distinguished family of dealerships redefining automotive excellence. Be sure to check out their website at autoinc.com. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of Beyond the Ribbon. My name is Ryan Parnell, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host and oncology nurse, Pam McMillan.
Hey Ryan, how are you today?
Pam, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How's your mental health?
Ooh.
That's a doozy.
Wow. you know, I would say it's doing okay. I rode my bike yesterday, and I'm planning on riding again this evening. So
That helps?
It does. It really does.
You know, sometimes we have to find a hobby that we can relieve our stress.
Yes.
And find purpose. But mental health is so important. You know, sometimes we don't want to talk about it. So.
Correct. Or be put on the spot. I'm just kidding. but you're right. It is so, so important.
Well, sometimes we just need to get to the point.
Yes.
So let's talk about mental health.
Let's do. Let's get to the point. Is that my cue?
Yes.
Well, I tell you, you know, a lot of times when we talk about mental health, we go to our guest today. Who helps us out a lot and helps a lot of our survivors out. Tiffany Lahr, how are you, Tiffany?
I'm doing well.
Well, good. You know, Tiffany, if you're a longtime listener of the podcast, Tiffany's been on numerous times and
yes.
on various topics, from, you know, meditation to lots of stories and discussions on mental health. And even one of my favorite ones that we've done, Tiffany, is on, and I would encourage people to go listen to this, is on breaking the stigma of counseling.
Mm-hmm. I thought maybe you were going to say drumming.
Well, now I forgot. Yes, go listen to the drumming one. But I'll tell you this, the guided meditation, do not listen to that one if you're driving your car. So, you know, Tiffany has a wide wealth of information. And thank you for joining us. I tell you, those of you listening, Tiffany is a licensed professional counselor, and we utilize her a lot. And by we, I mean our Cancer Survivorship Center and our survivors. And so when Pam, you and I started talking about, let's talk about, you know, maintaining your mental health during treatment, mm-hmm. naturally we're going to go to Tiffany.
Right.
So
she's been here for a while.
She has.
a little bit.
I mean, for a number of years.
Yes.
And let's just get to the point, right? As Pam says,
sure.
Let's jump in. How in the world can we maintain our mental health while someone's going through their cancer treatment?
Well, I mean, there's a number of things. Obviously, I'm a big proponent of attending individual counseling. And so a lot of what I'm thinking about are, you know, what are some of the issues that come up when I talk to cancer survivors on a daily basis? One is being, you know, often cancer patients feel a loss of a sense of control. They have no control over their diagnosis. Now their schedule is all out of whack. They have no control over their schedule because doctor appointments and scans and various other things are dictating their schedule. And then once they begin treatment, then their physical health will take over their schedule often because then they don't feel well enough to do their regular activities, going to work, doing things at home. So one of the things I find to be very important for people to do is to focus on what they do have control over. So, you know, what can you control? Well, maybe you can control what you're doing while you're sitting in the chemo chair.
Yeah.
So that seems like something simple, but maybe it's time that you decide to work some puzzles or read that book that you've been wanting to get to. Take a nap. Rest is important.
Or listen to this podcast.
Yes. You know, oftentimes whenever I meet with patients, you know, one thing that I think of that you can have control of it is your appointment times.
Yes.
If you're not a morning person, request an afternoon.
Absolutely.
It's those simple things that can help you. In the long run.
And you know, Pam, one of the things that just sparked in my head, we in a previous podcast, we had someone that said, talking about scheduling, you are in charge.
Yes.
And if you know, you're going to have, and they go, oh, how about on Friday? Would you like to have that scan done on Friday? Well, you mm-hmm. now know that you're going to have to wait
the next day and the next day. And I mean, you're going to have the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. And what is that probably going to do?
Stress
you out.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to have that on Friday. I'd rather have it on a Monday. So hopefully I'll get the results maybe sometime sooner than waiting the weekend. Mm-hmm. So that's a very good point. It's a very good point.
Well, and even whenever I schedule folks, you know, I always ask, you know, if they're in active treatment, you know, when is your next chemo? And, you know, they usually know, okay, well, 3 days in, I'm good. But then after that, things go downhill, you know, because they're not scheduling an appointment for them when they don't feel well is not going to be a good use of their time.
Correct.
And we have the flexibility of having telehealth sessions for folks that would like that. You know, so that can be helpful. I say, you know, you can have your counseling from your pajamas if you'd like.
Yeah.
or your car.
We talk about that often, that that's one of the best things that came out of COVID.
Oh, 100%.
You know, we talked about that before. I remember when you called me, hey, I'm going to need to start doing telehealth. I'm like, okay, how's that going to work? And we figured it out and it works. And I mean, it's wonderful. So again, make sure you know, we offer these sessions in person and virtually.
Yes.
We want to break down those barriers.
Yes. Yeah. And because then that's another thing they can have control over, of how they want to meet with people. And if it's important for them to meet in person, then, you know, by all means, let's do it in person. And what do we need to schedule it during your lunch hour?
Yeah.
You know, which I do a lot of lunch hour appointments. So how you spend your time and how you schedule your appointments is something that they can have control over. And they often don't realize that because everything feels out of control. Another thing that I focus on that they have control over is their feelings. Wait, we don't have control over our feelings? No, you do. You actually do. If you want to feel differently, you think differently. But with that, you know, anger is normal. It is, I mean, angry about the cancer, angry about how it's disrupted your life. It's okay to feel that way. That's a natural response to what's going on. It's okay to feel angry, but you don't want to wallow in it because that's going to rob you of the joy that you have. So anger also is a choice. How much do I want to be angry about this? Okay, I can't change it. I can't do anything about it. Okay, I need to think differently about this so that I can feel differently. So being in control of your emotions, which, you know, I obviously focus on a lot in counseling sessions.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that is, I'm thinking back when we had our cancer survivor celebration and talked about how control over your emotions is, you know, you have multi emotions.
Oh,
you know, you're angry, you're sad, you're joyful.
A roller coaster.
Yeah. You're happy because your counts are high enough to have chemo. You know, you're all of those things. And our speaker said, it's okay to feel all of those.
Yes.
And it's okay. And they can all come right at once.
Yes, they can. They can. Yeah. And you can be all over the place. And so you sometimes have a choice of what you choose to fixate on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of times when, and I said that, you know, you have control over what you do with your time. Yes and no, right? But oftentimes people feel guilt over not being productive, over not being able to contribute at home like they always were, not being able to go to work and not being able to do things. And so oftentimes I have to remind people, when you are healing from a surgery, when you are going through treatment, your job is to rest and recover so that your body can heal. That's your job. And people reminding themselves of that makes them feel less guilty. Okay, it's my job to rest. If the dishes don't get done today because I needed to sit down, that's okay. That was my job today, is to allow my body to heal.
And that sounds so simple.
Oh, I know.
But it's probably one of the hardest things to do.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes.
To give yourself permission.
Yes. And that's why I say calling it your job.
Mm-hmm.
It's your job.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, I think that could go along with that is either allowing someone to help you or asking for help.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because, right?
And being okay when they don't do it the same way.
Exactly. Well, no.
Or the right way, whatever you want to say.
That's right.
But it's done, right?
It was done. Whatever that task was, it was done.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes you just have to let that go, that it's not going to be the way done the way that you would probably normally do it, or but it's okay.
Right. And I think another thing to bring up on that point is think back when you guys that are listening, when you first were diagnosed, and I bet you can probably count about 10 different people that said, let me know if you need anything. Mm-hmm. Right. Let me know if you need anything. That's the time when you say, hey, you remember you told me to let you know if I needed something. Could you come help me with this?
Yeah.
That's a great opportunity. I mean, really great opportunity to allow someone else to help you get whatever done, but also allow them to experience some joy in helping out and being
absolutely
a part of,
because people want to help.
Yes.
And you know, that brings up another thought. You know, a lot of times people, if survivors, feel like in the beginning when they're first diagnosed, everyone rallies, you know, there's everyone's praying for them and bringing them meals and stuff like that. And then when they get further along in the treatment, or they're no longer in treatment, you know, they still don't feel 100%.
Right.
You know, your body, your mind, your soul, everything is permanently affected by your cancer. And those people have kind of dissipated.
Yeah.
You know, they're not coming around as much anymore, but you may still need the help. So calling them up, staying in contact, hey, can you pick up my kids today?
Yes.
I just don't feel well enough to get in the car and go, you know, whatever, because people do still want to help.
Yeah.
And if they don't, then you don't want them in your life anyway.
Well, I feel like, and I, again, having not been there, but I feel like if someone was to call me and say, you know, I need this, I'm going to go do it.
Yeah.
And I feel like if you have sincere enough, you know, your circle, they're going to do whatever you need, which can be massive towards your mental health.
Oh, yeah, because people want to help. They can't take away your pain. They can't take away your cancer. They can't. So they want to do something. So let them do that. You know, what I have found for a lot of folks, the rule of thirds that applies in grief also applies with a cancer diagnosis. A third of the people in your life will become truly supportive. They're your people. A third of your life and your people kind of become neutral because they don't know how to be. They're kind of uncomfortable. They're just neutral. And then third, people can become toxic. People you thought were your friends maybe really aren't. You know, it was, you know, they were your friend when you were well and you guys had the same lifestyle and now you no longer do. So, and I can't take credit for that. That's Alan Wolfelt's work. I just feel like I need to say that.
I was really impressed there for a moment. That's why we have Tiffany.
Yes.
Well, but seriously, I, you know, and we've talked about that before, that allowing someone else to have the joy of helping you.
Absolutely.
So what else can our listeners do to help maintain their mental health?
I think one of the biggest ones is connection. Connecting with other people, other survivors that get it, because no one, even me as a counselor, you know, I've not had cancer, you know, but finding someone who has walked in those same shoes or is walking in those same shoes, that kind of healing that happens in that connection can't be replicated anywhere else.
Sure.
And so finding community, which is, you know, obviously something we do a lot of here.
Yes.
You know, and offering it through multiple different ways. The support programs, I'm always encouraging people to go to the support groups because that's where, you know, a lot of the meat of that occurs, of that talking about what's real. But it, I mean, the connection happens in the other programs too, the exercise programs, the fun, you know, the fun events that we do.
Those are always so neat to see people come together, all different walks of life. And half the time they don't even talk about cancer, but they understand each other.
Yeah. I always say it's like the club that, it's the club that nobody wants to be part of, but you're kind of glad that you came.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is just so you guys know, you may be going, oh, I ain't going to that class, or I'm not doing it because they're going to make me talk. No. Oh, no. No.
You don't have to talk.
It's no talking required. And really and truly, a lot of the stuff, it just happens organically.
That's what I was going to say. It's not when you're being put on the spot of tell us your story or, you know, not that we do that necessarily, but it's in those side conversations.
Oh, yes. Right.
you know, yeah, that happened. Oh, you're a teacher. Oh, I'm a teacher too. Or whatever mm-hmm. it is.
You know, yeah. You become friends and then mm-hmm. you have your new circle of friends.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
That's a very good point too, is then you become accountable and you have someone mm-hmm. that helps hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'll see you tomorrow at the water class, or I'll see you at yes. walking group. And
or that checks in on you. Oh, mm-hmm. I know you had treatment. Are you doing yes. okay? Can I bring you anything? You know, mm-hmm. yeah.
They get it.
Yeah, yep. they get it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because cancer can be lonely. Yeah. Very lonely. Because what I was talking about before, the circle of people that you had common things with before, maybe you don't now. True. You don't have the same schedules and stuff. And so it can become very lonely. So finding community is huge.
Yes. So, what else, Tiffany?
I feel like one of the most important things that maybe not every counselor encourages, but, you know, with my background, one of the things I found to be most helpful is find a way to be creative. And people say, oh, I'm not creative. Oh, yeah, you are. Everyone is creative. And that comes in different forms. Because having that creative outlet helps sometimes process things that there are no words for or can't be processed in words. And that can be done through creating art. It can be done through making music. And that can be even just, you know, singing with your church choir, or doing, you know, something, right. Picking up, like I said, picking up that old hobby or something you've always wanted to try, like embroidery or cross stitch or wood whittling. I mean, and I think one of the other benefits that the Survivorship Center offers is exposure to a lot of these things, like glass blowing,
or alcohol ink,
Yeah, you know, and that's a very interesting point you bring up. I wasn't even going there and thinking about that kind of stuff. Naturally, when you think about creativeness, I'm thinking about, you know, some of the art projects that,
oh, yeah.
that you guys do. But that has to be one of the most like fun and enjoyable things that we do, is some of these crazy things that you just go, I don't know that I would have ever done that.
Exactly.
Had I not had cancer and come to the Survivorship Center.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's just
skill you're learning.
It's very interesting.
Oh, Monday in art group, mm-hmm. speaking of which, I taught everyone how to make flowers with pipe cleaners, or they're called chenille sticks now. We had a discussion about that too. But I know them as pipe cleaners, but all the different colors. And I had no idea that they were going to take off with that, so much so that, you know, I always overbuy in supplies. So we had that to ensure we have enough for anybody who can't RSVP or, you know, brings a friend, and which I'm always open to folks sure. doing that. But afterwards, you know, as we were kind of cleaning up, I was like, you know, feel free to take if you want to make more flowers. All of the pipe cleaners.
They were all gone.
It was awesome. I was so glad. Yes, because, you know, now, you know, that using your hands in that way, and that can be really rewarding for a lot of folks that maybe have neuropathy yes. or arthritis or something where they don't feel like they can do with their hands what they did before. But there were we had a lot of productivity with yeah. pipe cleaners, you know. So
one thing I love to see too is people that have gone to, like, for instance, you talked about glass blowing. We'll give a quick shout out to Blind Bird Designs.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, if you are in the Amarillo area, go check them out, get them online and take a class, you know, go and do a thing with them. But to see people that have gone to glass blowing with us, and then you start to see, oh, I went back and I took my grandkids, or yes. I went back and my husband did da, 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 yeah. da. And it's like, that's cool, because now you have, as you said, you've learned this new hobby, or mm-hmm. you found a new hobby that's creative.
Oh, yeah. I have plenty of people tell me, oh, I'm going to do this with my family yes. and do this with my grandkids and yeah. stuff. So, and I try to pick things that, you know, supplies are easy for people to access.
Yeah.
To
yeah. do, so.
Is there anything else that we can help with our mental health?
Oh, I'm sure there's a lot of things, but I'm drawing a blank in the moment.
You know, one thing that I think about is... Oh,
yeah, I did think of something. Go ahead.
Trauma prior to cancer. Does mm-hmm. that affect your cancer mental health?
100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can guarantee that most of the people that I visit with that have had trauma in their background, it always comes forward mm-hmm. because they don't realize how those emotions or lack of emotions will come forward during their treatment.
So don't bury those emotions.
No, because processing those is a release.
Right.
Our emotional, mental, physical selves, they're all tied together. And yeah. So they all need that attention. And what I thought of when you asked me that, and first I said, I can't think of anything, is exercise, moving yes. your body. And I try not to use the word exercise because most people just look at me like, oh, shut up.
You want me to work out?
Yeah, you want me to work out. So I move your body, find a way to move your body. Because that movement releases endorphins that help to combat depression and anxiety, and you know, that can't be done in any other way.
You know, Pam, for those listening, as I said in our opening, Pam is an oncology nurse. And Pam, I know when we first started our survivorship program here, the Oncology Nursing Society had a tagline or a slogan that they used. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that?
Get up, get moving.
Yep. Yeah. Get up and get moving. And I think that that does not get used enough.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's, you know, some of the things that we preach heavily is do what you can, when you can, for as long as you can.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can think of a story from one of our survivors. She was elderly and she would just show up to class.
Yeah.
She didn't participate, but she showed up to class, and her treatment was easier on her. And I don't know if it was the community or just being finding purpose,
mm-hmm.
finding the community.
Think of lots of things and yeah. just yeah. that. Yeah.
So find that purpose or community that you're lacking and, you know, come join us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I hope, that I'm not the only one that, as we've been talking about this, that thinks about all of the things that go on here at the Survivorship Center. There's a reason for all of the things we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I mean, it's not because, and I know we've said this before, it's not because Pam, you know, we sat around in a meeting and said, what if we, what kind of crazy class should we come up with? You know? No, there's actual science and backing behind these things.
Right.
There's reasons for it. Just as Tiffany, you said, doing things, you know, art with the old fine motor skill type stuff with
yeah.
your fingers and hands, because it helps with neuropathy.
It does. And then repetitive hand motion can be soothing in and of itself.
Yeah. Yeah. There's just so much that we do that has incredible benefits mentally, physically, mm-hmm. emotionally. We even have a spiritual care program that we can be a part of.
Right.
So
Tiffany, you know, we talk about all these things. What about our attitude? Does that affect our outcomes?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you have a negative attitude, okay, think about it. Negative attitudes are contagious. Mm-hmm. If you've ever been in a work environment where everybody's just sour.
Oh, don't I know. Don't
oh,
I know.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, what a blow there, Pam. Is that towards me or somebody else?
Just kidding.
Hey, I don't experience that here, so I am not pointing fingers. No, I mean, but seriously, or maybe I should say not a work environment, but, you know, a negative environment where maybe people are bad mouthing and gossiping and being ugly. It's so easy to get sucked into that. That negative attitude is so contagious, mm-hmm. yes. and that just brings you down. It makes you feel crummy. And there's a, and as I said, it's okay to be angry. There's a lot of things to be angry about. And you can, whenever you have a cancer diagnosis, because your world has been turned upside down. But again, what do you have control over? You can have control over your attitude. You can choose to focus on what, even if it's the smallest joy, somebody held the door open for you and smiled when you came in today. Mm-hmm. Focusing on those small, even if they're the most minute gifts, can help you to reshift your attitude and be grateful for, you know, whatever small little thing it is that you have to be grateful for.
I was just thinking there's someone I know that that is going through breast cancer, metastatic breast cancer recurrence. And she is very prominent on social media.
Mm-hmm.
And she always talks about the small little things that make a big difference. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, the phlebotomist got my blood on the first stick today.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yes.
And I just thought of those kinds of, you know, the little thing. Now, granted that you guys are going, but Ryan, that's not little. That's very meaningful.
Yeah.
But but it's something to be happy about.
Yes.
You know, that's what I'm going like. Just focus on those things that like what my wife used to always say, tell me three good things that happened today to our kids. Yeah. You know, tell me three good things that happened today. And maybe that's the kind of thing too, that needs to be brought up is, hey, tell me three good things that happened today. And maybe it is, I got my favorite chair at in the chemo room, yeah. right by the window, got a lot of sun, you know, whatever it might be.
Oh, I got to go in on a time today.
Yeah, on time.
Yeah. That's always a plus.
Yeah. Pam, did that ever happen when you were?
Always.
Always. Yes.
Always.
Always on time. Well, in fact, we, the first art group of the year, we made joy journals. And my challenge for each of the participants was to find something that brings them joy each day.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds extremely hard to do, but it can be the simplest thing.
I mean, I tell you, the sunshine we're having is bringing me joy.
Yes.
Ain't no wind.
Exactly.
Today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Pam, you said something that makes perfect sense. It sounds so simple, but sometimes we make it out to be a big thing. You know, self-care, you know, maintaining your mental health, doing those kinds of things, taking time for ourselves, giving yourselves the chance and giving yourselves the permission to do whatever it is that you need to do.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what it boils down to, right?
Yeah.
In maintaining our mental health.
Well, yeah, it's a practice. Yeah. You can't just do it once and expect to be fixed.
It's not a quick fix. It's not a quick pill to take. And it takes time and practice.
You got to work at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to work at it.
So, Ryan, how's your mental health now?
Lacking. and you know, I there are things I should probably do more of, and I think, it's a good reminder, to take stock, you know, of yourself.
Absolutely.
And figure out where you're lacking, controlling your attitude. That's another good one.
Yes. Well, and sometimes you can do that by filling your bucket. And all these things we discussed will help you fill your
bucket.
That
is for sure. That is for sure.
So, Tiffany, this brings us to our last segment. We are sponsored by the Auto Inc. family. Mm-hmm. Do you have an Auto Inc. inspiring moment that you could share with our listeners?
It's more of a inspiring, not just a simple moment. It was kind of a process, an inspiring process of seeing, and this has happened more than once, but I'm thinking specifically of a person that was very, very angry, as we discussed, as normal, about how this person's world had changed because of the cancer. And through counseling, discussing attitude and all of these things, and encouraging that creative art that I was talking about, this person found art and started painting, and then took it from beyond the Survivorship Center, taking art classes and entering art pieces into competitions and things of that nature. And what I saw was a complete transformation of that attitude. And that person just began, every time I see that person now, there's a smile and talkative and joyful, and not that same angry person that started here.
What a huge success story.
Yes. You know, that's what we want here. We want to help you get rid of that anger, find that happiness or that little bit of joy.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, we talk a lot about self-care and mental health, and they do go hand in hand. And the key thing is, we, as you said, we want to help you, and we do all of this at no charge to you. Yeah, zero.
It's amazing.
And so I encourage you, if you're like, I need to talk to Tiffany, we can make that happen. Can't we, Pam?
Yes. Simple call, 806-331-2400.
Yeah.
If you have our app downloaded, you can request a counseling appointment.
Yes.
And we can get you in touch with her.
Yeah. And the beauty of that is, Pam, they don't have to tell you all the things.
No.
As simple as, I need to talk to a counselor. I need to talk to Tiffany. That's all it takes.
Yes.
And then we pass that on.
Yep.
It's so simple. We don't need to know. We don't need to know. We want you to get better. That's the bottom line.
Yes.
Yeah. Tiffany, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, thank you for what you do. Gosh, yeah. We're lucky to have counselors to work with that understand and get what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And again, we're so lucky to be able to do that at no charge and make that happen. So thank you very much. Well, Pam, you know, you asked me how my mental health is.
I'm going to turn the table here.
About yours?
Mine is good. You know, my sister is a big component of finding joy in every day, and writing those three things that you're joyful for. Mm-hmm. And so I really challenge everybody to do that because it can change your outlook on life. And then finding that creative hobby, which yes. I have, I feel like my granny sometimes, but I have found the creative outlet for me. So, you know, it's a stress reliever.
Yeah.
So,
and if I may, can I share what your hobby is?
Oh, absolutely.
Have you seen Pam's quilts, Tiffany?
I haven't seen her quilts, but I've seen some of her other handiwork.
It is amazing. It is amazing. So if you're thinking about taking up quilting, ask Pam.
Yes.
She can share that info with you, and get you going on those. And I tell you, you shouldn't feel like your granny.
Oh, I'm proud to feel like my granny. If I can live my life like her, she was an amazing lady.
Well, that's right. I don't know your granny, but I remember hearing stories. So, yeah. Well, this has been a very fun episode.
Yes.
It's kind of a challenging episode too, you know?
Yeah.
I think that's important in our all of our mental health and all of our lives, not just because you had cancer that you need to work on this.
Right. It can apply to anybody, you know. And I think my homework for our listeners is, you know, I want you to come and enjoy Tiffany's art class. Take that first step. If you find that to be helpful, take the next step, get in touch with her.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing too is I bet you've not duplicated, but maybe one or two items since you've been here.
Yeah,
just in art class.
Just making Valentine's is about the only thing I think I've duplicated.
Yeah, because it's always different. It's always different. It's always cool. So just because, you know, they do painting. I don't do painting. I can't come to art. That's not true.
Everybody's creative.
That's not.
We don't always do painting. And sometimes it's pipe cleaners.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You never know. You got to come to find out, right?
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, thank you guys for listening. I tell you, share this with your friends that, your cancer friends, even non-cancer friends. I mean, we can all utilize this podcast daily. And I think that's important. Pam, I always enjoy our podcast.
Yes.
Lots of fun. I almost can't wait to the next one.
Who knows what it'll be?
Well, thank you guys for listening. And make sure you join us next time for another great episode of Beyond the Ribbon. Thanks again for listening to Beyond the Ribbon. We'd like to extend a special thanks to the Auto Inc. family of dealerships as they have supported 24 Hours in the Canyon and the Cancer Survivorship Center since 2016. For more information on the Cancer Survivorship Center, please visit our website, 24survivorship.org.